We still on a professional day. I'm going to let it slide. I don't even like what they're doing with my camera right now. Welcome to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and in front of me is my best friend in the world, Calvin McGowan. Calvin, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
Hey, everybody. Once again, per usual, I'm Calvin McGowan II, and we are gathered here today. Right? We are gathered here today to mourn the loss of somebody very important to me, right? This person did not live all that long, right? This person was took, you know, a massive injury with the loss of Arizona and was put out of its misery by the University of Arkansas men's basketball team. We are here to mourn the loss of my NCAA tournament bracket, and to speak on the chaos which led to its early and untimely demise.
Calvin, you were so dramatic. But no, man, to be real with you, this was the best and worst NCAA tournament start that I've ever seen. I love upsets. I'm always here for the underdog. I don't care. I like mayhem. I like chaos. And that's exactly what this tournament gave us all weekend long. I'm still mad at Arkansas for getting Kansas up out of here. I appreciate it, and I like to see young people be successful, but not at risk of my favorite team getting booted out so early in the tournament. But it does go back to, I'm not going to blame Bill Self for this because he's out with some type of medical issue, but it is very Bill Selfie to get kicked out in the second round by lower seed. But that is besides the point. Everybody got booted out by lower seed. Farley Dickerson. I didn't even know that was a college. FDU is really entertaining to say on TV because it's really close to a curse word, and that's near and dear to my heart. But for them to take down the Boilermakers just off like heart and quickness alone, special. I really wanted to be a Sweet 16 team. But you know how I got all my money in at this point? That's Princeton. Mm-hmm. Princeton is the team that I want to win the championship. Not for any like particular reason. I just kind of like the idea of an Ivy League team winning for like the first time in this century and probably like halfway through the last. Like, I'm not about to do the research from the last time an Ivy League team won, but
it would have been before the 60s.
Oh yeah, it got to be Jim Crow days. It got to be. It's either that or the beginning of tournament history, because there's no reason why Ivy League team should be winning.
Like Princeton, I should have actually looked at that game when I made my bracket. I'm just like, ain't no way Arizona's gonna lose to Princeton. I just advanced them, but as you mentioned when we were talking yesterday, Princeton is big and plays with a lot of effort. So, you know, like, it sounds like the kind of team that can make an upset when you actually spell it out. I am, however, wildly disappointed in Arizona. I had them in my title game.
Ooh, see, that was wrong with you. That's how I know you didn't watch college basketball this year like nobody else did, because Arizona has been mid all season.
They did well enough for the 2 seed, though, for, like, supposedly.
How many 3 seeds can you name?
Fair.
Mid-year for college basketball, which is
actually, apparently, I'm looking at the thing now. Gonzaga's a 3. But the three seeds this year were the Zags, Kansas State, Baylor, and Xavier.
See, look, there's some really good teams at the three seed, but they're not spectacular. This isn't a Gonzaga team that we've seen in the last couple of years. This is a mid-level Gonzaga team considering what we've seen. Xavier, this is good for Xavier. I'll give them that. K-State, this is amazing for K-State. And this is coming from a KU fan. I'll never say anything nice about K-State again. Outside of the year that they have Michael Beasley, I never paid attention to K-State. And I know that's Phillip's like heartthrob team right now. So anything you want to mention?
Oh, well, kind of is.
And LLA, I'll throw the screenshot in here, bro. Real quick.
I bet you are. I know you are. And keep this in. How long have y'all been going?
Just started. You roll up at a perfect time.
Phew! All right. I mean, nervous for a second. So K-State.
Real quick, introduce yourself since you just popped up.
Right. All right. My name is Philip Dixon, aka the one, the only. You know, popping up on the iPhone today because I left my charger at the, you know, the school that I teach at, but it's all good. And I left it there last week, so, you know, we got to grind. Yeah, it's been spring break. I, like, can't get into the school. And then today they had teacher development day, so I still can't get into the school. Whatever, it's been a whole entire thing. What up, gang? So do you want to talk about K-State specifically?
Yeah, we just talked about like the NCAA tournament in general, like everything that's happened in this last week.
Okay, cool. Because I might have watched more games this weekend than I watched all the last 2 years combined. Mm-hmm. Personally, for whatever reason, there was no there's no real reason why, but whatever, I did. I kind of just like basketball, apparently. So I guess I'll stick to this thought, this narrowed thought at this moment. University of Kansas loses. University of Missouri loses. Baylor loses. K-State wins. In the area I live right now in Kansas City, those are like the, you know, Iowa State, obviously. Those are like the teams that people are like really invested into, right? K-State actively looks better than all of them and has the entire year consistently. If you are surprised that K-State won, that means you have been paying attention to K-State basketball this year. I argue.
I mean,
with
that checks out.
Like the Big 12 arguably is the best conference in the country. You know what I mean? This past year to the college basketball with, once again, Baylor, TCU, Iowa State, KU, K-State. Like, they had a lot of really, really good teams. And KU got beat by Texas twice. And they were number two seed. So, or number one seed, excuse me. So, I found that really interesting that K-State is easily the most well-rounded team of the Big 12. And, you know, there's a couple stories intertwined with K-State being, you know, it was the head coach's first year and how, like, he used the transfer portal to his benefit to be able to get him to this point this year. And, you know, just understanding in the moment where they're at, Coach K calling their point guard little man or whatever you call him, little guy, but like the guy that this little guy just lit you up for 27-9 and controlled the game from the very beginning. So K-State, amazing. It's really good, solid basketball to watch because their players understand the roles and are very committed to the roles in which they have. KU, that game specifically, what I took away from this, what I took away from the game is this. they were going to coast to a win. But then DeJuan went out.
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes, whatever-ish minutes until the halftime. They lost all the composure from that point on, and the momentum stuck with Arkansas at that very moment. I think, you know, obviously DeJuan's coming back next year with pandemic year, and he was a red shirt, you know what I mean? So he's still there. But this was a strong indicator of how important to that team he is, and how important it's going to be for this team next year. Now, they weren't a good number one seed. They were number one seed. They weren't good number one seed. Once again, they got beat by K-State and Texas twice. Texas twice in like a 2 week span. Like, it wasn't even like that long. And this is like 2 week span at the end of the season. And they didn't win the Big 12 tournament. So KU wise, that's what I took from the game. I also took from the game that Grady Dick is nice, but he doesn't command the basketball.
No, he's we know what Grady Dick is.
But still, he doesn't command the basketball, because either through scheming or through his own dealings and whatever that means, he'll hit a three and then stick in the corner for the next 5 minutes. And that's not – I don't know if that's to blame coach. I don't know if that's to blame Grady Dick for. I don't know who's to blame for it. But against that team, you needed him. But I'll say the reason they lost, in my opinion, is DeJuan going out. He came back after half. It was timid and then got into a rhythm. But being out for those 3 minutes and then coming back timid was too much time for Arkansas to gain the confidence in which they had to play against KU. If DeJuan does not go out, they do not lose. But I don't think they win next round. This has been a really entertaining tournament. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been mad entertaining. But I guess from K-State, KU, that's what I got. I could go on and on and on, but I'll just stick it there for now.
Yeah. But to stay with KU and DeJuan Wagner, does he not give you Frank Mason, Devontae Graham Bobbs? He's not the same type of player.
Harris.
What are you talking? Oh, my bad. But yeah. DeJuan Harris, does he not give you Frank Mason / Devontae Graham Bobbs? I know he's not the same volume scorer, but I'm talking about the way that he leads the team in when Devontae Graham and Frank Mason were on the court,
right?
Kansas was almost an unstoppable team. They had options and advantages at pretty much every position. The minute they go off the court, it looks like a different team.
I would agree to a degree. In terms of court presence and kind of commanding the game, yes, I'd agree. Although DeJuan Harris is a much, much, much better defender than either one of those two. Frank Mason, I think it's interesting that we're seeing DeJuan Harris has like come into his own the later years, but so did Frank Mason. But mm-hmm. Frank Mason so was like good his freshman year. Like, those guys were good. Devontae, Grant, they were really good their freshman year, sophomore years. DeJuan was a redshirt and leaned into it. And he is what I call the standard. He is a prototype for KU basketball. Like that is what he is. If I can give a comparison, I mean, I think he's better, obviously. But he is what KU likes, or Bill Self likes. Engaging, you know, another example of a player like him would be Travis Rutherford, right? Perry Ellis, right? These dudes that really came into their own, but they're 4 and 5 year players, right? Brady Morningstar, right? They all play differently, but they're there for an extended amount of time, and that's what they really, really like. Kansas City today, a lot of the talking points have been the reason they lost is because of Bill Self not being on the bench. Bill Self was there for all practices. He wasn't there for the game. And maybe you could blame it on second half adjustments. But I think they played fine the second half. It was a 4 or 5 minute stretch of when they didn't play well. And to go, the only reason they lost is because of Bill Self, that's not true. That's not true. If Bill Self would have been there on the sidelines, I still don't think it would have been too crazy of a difference if DeJuan Harris continues to go out injured, which is a freak. It was a freak thing, right? He, like, double hopped and then try to push off and then, like, twist his ankle in some weird way. Like, it was a freak thing, but it was a thing that happened. You know what I mean? So that was interesting, but K-State's a far better team than KU this year, just in terms of understanding who they are. And when you get to this level, maybe to this time, Sweet 16, so on and so forth, it's not about who has the best players, because if it was about who has the best players, then RJ Barrett and Zion would have a championship, right? It is about, once you get here, how many players on your team know their role and know who they are. And that's when you get upsets.
Yeah.
And so you want to get into upsets, we can get to that too. But that's how these things happen. These teams know who they are and understand their role. They might not have the all elite talent, but they understand the capabilities they have and heighten, and those are heightened to the best of their abilities by coaching and so on and so forth.
Yeah. No, let's get into upsets. Calvin, you'll be able to touch on this. I honestly think what we're seeing right now is it's not going to be the end of one and done. One and done is always going to be a thing. But as we know, teams keep getting older. And I think that's just going to lead to more upsets. Like, the game is just going to switch up. These high-powered teams who already have talented players are going to have to face the St. Peters of the world, the Farley Dickinsons of the world. Weirdly, I know FAU came in as like the 8 or 9 seed, but I don't know Florida Atlantic to have any type of like longevity as far as like a basketball program. I think we want to see a lot more of these teams that we don't expect to really go far to go far. Like, the idea of Princeton being in the Sweet 16 has never crossed my mind ever in my entire life. And I think we want to see that a lot more because of the transfer portal and because these guys got the COVID year and they can stick around a little bit longer. And the teams that can either retain talent or re-up more often are going to be much better than teams who sadly pick up freshmen and then weirdly those freshmen want to transfer instead of realizing that if you just stay for 2 years or stay the next year, that person that beat you, you can be that person. It's weird, man. I think it's going to be – it's really upset heavy this year, and I don't think that's going to slow down. I think that's going to be the run we see for NCAA teams for at least the next two seasons. Because we saw it last year.
So, I think as far as, like, all the upsets, I think it's a couple of things, right? Some of it is as simple as – you know, adding the play-in games, right? Some of it is, like, you know, players not having to, like, sit and whatever when they transfer now. So, right, if a player isn't happy in a situation, they can go on and, you know, move. Right, bigger school to smaller school or what have you. And I also think that some of it, like y'all touched on, is the NIL stuff. Encouraging, you know, some dudes to, you know, stay a little bit longer. You know, those dudes who are like a Drew Timmy, for example, who's like the guy at Gonzaga, but like his skill set isn't one that they really look for or utilize in the current NBA landscape. And I think, right, that because of the, particularly of the, like, the ability of players to more easily move between teams, right, it's easier for it's easier to, it makes it a little easier to rebuild. But also, makes it like, obviously, right, mid majors are constantly at risk of like losing their best players to a team that's gonna give them 10 minutes in like the beginning of the season, like all season. But by that same metric, right, you still have players moving down. And I think in part because of like, you know, some of that movement, some of that NIL, that like there's a bit more parity in that, like, you obviously, right, dudes would move anyway, but without having this hit, you see, we'll see situations where dudes who were not even like not getting PT at like a high major, but not getting the kind of PT that they want, go to another program and have an instant impact. And, you know, this movement, this, you know, this growth of parity and whatever leads to more upsets, right? It leads to Princeton over Arizona. It leads to, I was going to say Kansas, Arkansas, but that's not really what was going on there too much.
I've heard the discussion, I guess, of people saying that the transfer portal in the way it is now is not good for college basketball. And I'd argue that anybody who says that doesn't necessarily know what they're talking about in terms of basketball. Because it's a conversation to be had, right? Like, inherently, you're going to have people in higher media platforms who are from larger schools, right? Being the Kansas, Syracuse, whatever, right? Like, insert any Power 5 PWI, right? And I just got to make sure that people that I talk to on a personal basis about basketball don't get caught up in this idea that they're being unbiased. You know what I mean? Because it's going to happen. And you're going to see people trying to like, you're going to see people start to get upset of the upsets, upset of this. Because I also agree that this is not like a one and done thing. This is going to be this is the beginning of a trend, right? It's going to continue on. But brackets and gambling and things like that, that is going to make a certain vocal barstool segment of the population like alienate this idea of like, why are these smaller mid-major schools upsetting larger schools? And it's less for the love of the game and more for the love of their bracket and their personal investment into the game. Personally, and I started thinking about this, right? Because I've only filled out maybe 3 brackets my entire life. The first bracket I filled out was my freshman year of college, right? And I filled out 2 since then, and one was in grad school and whatever. And I didn't go out of my way to actively not fill out brackets. I was just kind of just like, you know, I forget. It is what it is. I usually just forgot. But I equate, not everybody, obviously, but enough people to, this is what it is, right? You thought a bracket of gambling. And so your investment into the games and your investment into like the competitions of the games are going to be based off of, you know, your personal investment. And once again, this isn't everybody, but it's a good amount of vocal people, right? So for an example, I was on, you know, TikTok, and I was scrolling through some of the basketball stuff, and this person was like, I was talking about basketball, and they were like, oh, then so-and-so got hurt. Who knows? Insert player. And they were like, another co-host or whatever was like, oh, it's a good thing, because if he didn't play, then the parlays and, you know, certain things that, like, fell in line for him to have a certain amount of points per game. So the person ended up winning at the end, right? And that person was investing into the hurt of somebody else so they could win their little bet, whatever it was. In terms of brackets, obviously it doesn't have anything to do with, like, the hurting of a player. But what if somebody was really happy that DeJuan Harris got hurt? Because they, for some reason, had Arkansas beating KU, right? Like, the intangible things that come along with that and the inherent things, not intangible, the inherent things come along with that are negative, but that's one aspect of it. But that can also lead to the conversations of the more upsets there are, the more unpredictable the tournament is, even though it's already unpredictable, right? But the more unpredictable it becomes, and so you're going to have a certain segment of people going, I don't know, this is not really good for my pocketbooks. Let's switch it back to how it was. And that's less positive for the players and more positive for the people gambling on the effects of what's happening with actual games themselves.
Yeah. And Cal, I mean, Philip, to touch on something that you said earlier, I do not think the transfer portal is good for regular season college basketball. I think it's really good for the tournament itself. Because we do not know a lot that's coming in, for me, a person who likes the chaos that happens during this time, we never know who's going to win. And that is much more fun than walking into a game knowing that somebody's about to get blown out by 30 points, to me. Mm-hmm. So I think what's going to hurt, and I think this is a bit of lazy media and lazy fans, where because there's so much movement, we're already dejected on figuring out where these people go. So we don't really know our rosters. I'll be honest with you. I'm a Kansas fan. I can't tell you more than like five people on this roster. And those five people that I can tell you on the roster, I scouted all of them in high school.
I mean, K-State has that one dude from Florida, right?
Exactly.
And so, like, he got hurt. All of a sudden, he's on K-State. If you're not a K-State fan, like, I remember when that happened. Mm-hmm. I did not know that he was on K-State. I'm going to be real with you. Because, like, I watch K-State in the most passive of ways, right? Like, it's very, very passive. They play KU, I watch.
But then I'm like, and that's how it should be, by the way.
Right. I mean, they're in Manhattan, Kansas. Anyways, and then I'm like, oh, that's that guy, because it's pointed out. And then I was like, oh, okay. Wait, when did he get to K-State? You know what I mean? But tournament time, as you're mentioning, I love it. But as a person, keeping track during regular seasons, because I don't know if I agree that it's going to be bad for regular seasons. I think it's bad for the casual fan, right? But I'd argue that the casual fan of college basketball is not important because everybody inherently has their own student fan base. So there is no such thing as a casual fan of basketball. There's such fan of college basketball casual fans, but they're not nearly as important as other aspects of sports. You know what I mean? But in terms of just like the casual, I guess, being like, who is this guy on this other team? It's gonna switch up more. It's gonna switch up often enough that some people are just gonna switch schools like that. You know what I mean? But when term time comes, it'll be fun times.
So, I guess I'm gonna go ahead and bring it back to, you know, some of the basketball that was played this weekend a little. Though I will say that the whole thing about casual fans is something I was thinking about in relation to something else. That's a whole separate conversation. Right. And of course we touched on, you know, the growing, like the growing unpredictability of the tournament. Right. And, you know, more so than ever, particularly those first couple rounds, it's hard to figure out to like put a bracket together and be confident that, oh yeah, things are going to play out like this because, you know, reality and whatever. Right. We've had our second 16 seed ever to beat a one seed, right? Farley Dickinson and Purdue in
I
a game.
I had no idea Brett Hodge was.
Look, but like the I thing with that one, right? So I think I particularly popped in, I think, kind of as it was closing, because it was just like, you know, I thought like y'all thought before the games, like, this one's not going to be a fun one to watch. It's going to be a blowout and whatever, right?
I think you and millions of others tuned in, or I guess we and millions of others tuned in approximately the exact same time.
And, like, what you saw with Purdue was a team who, outside of Edie, right, particularly in those crunch moments, dudes were scared to shoot the ball. Like, why aren't you taking this wide open jump shot? Like, why are you scared to, like, put the ball up in big moments? Somebody's got to.
Hey, look, my guy LeJethro Jenkins said it best. It's an engineering school. Why are we watching them play basketball anyway?
Because they got a man who's 7'4".
I mean, they were able to engineer some pretty good basketball teams.
You're lame. You're very lame for that.
Hey, look.
I put the
that
word
was like very smooth.
It was.
I didn't see it coming.
But no, man, like, if we think about Purdue teams, they're not really like that. Like, even when they had Jaden Ivey last, well, what? Is it last year? Or is, yeah, last year.
Yeah, last rookie. Year.
They wasn't like that. They wasn't that fantastic. Like, they always have, like, one or two talented dudes, but as a whole, no. I'm not tuning in to watch Purdue. I don't care who they playing.
Well, Purdue's never like that, right? You know, obviously when you watch this tournament, you're going to start off, if you watch more than one game per day, you're going to start watching, you know, the team that you most invested into, and then, it trickles down from there, right? So, for me, it was KU, and then K-State, and then anybody else in the Big 12, and then Missouri. You know what I mean? Like it's just how it works. I don't know. I met one person who ever went to Purdue in real life. I don't know who these people are. I don't care to know who these people are, if I'm being really honest with you. But no one ever goes, man, I wonder how Purdue's doing in basketball. Like, that's just not really a conversation that's had in my circles. My circles could be, you know, small-minded, but I don't think so.
Yeah. I lived in Indiana for a year. A lot of people are invested. A lot of people at Eli Lilly are very invested.
Not me. I'm not Indiana. Not what I'm trying to be. But, you know, once again, Purdue is fine, but I always chuck up, I don't know, I always chuck Purdue up with Gonzaga. No matter how good your team is, you're going to call it short. Because you Gonzaga. Because you Purdue. That's just how it works for you guys. You know what I mean? Like that's really how it is in my mind with certain schools. And Gonzaga and Purdue are the same to me in my mind.
I mean, the Zags have at least been to the championship game.
And got their ass beat. Don't forget that part.
Not the first time.
I'm not worried about that first time. I forgot about the first time, to be honest with you. That Baylor loss, it don't matter if you lost by 1 point the last time. I'm remembering that Baylor loss.
That Baylor team was ridiculous, though. They had a dog in them, you know what I mean?
Like, the thing, like, is, it was, like, that year was basically just those two teams and everybody else.
That's definitely
true. It was
true.
Really just Baylor, if we're being honest.
I mean, that's only true in hindsight, though.
I mean, but, like, unless you go to Purdue, you can't trust Purdue anymore. Because you saw a video of the other team's coach calling his shot before they even left the locker room.
Which is disrespectful.
And then you see that video and go, like, you don't deserve to win nowhere.
Anyway.
Like, you, after watching that video and you losing, Purdue is cursed. They are cursed for 5 years. They're going to the NIT tomorrow. No, they're going to the NIT next year.
He said, the more I watch them, the more I know we can beat them. That's so disrespectful. That's when you go ahead and hit your administration up and be like, can we get him touched? Like, I'm just saying. Like, I don't need him out of the game. I just need him, like, on the sideline for a couple minutes.
The more I watch him, the more I feel like you can beat him. And you beat him.
Well, I guess stepping away from the actual in-game action, right? The coaching carousel has already gotten underway. We have Rick Pitino. He's going to be at St. John's next year.
Sticky Ricky.
Why Rick Pitino left or was fired from Louisville in the first place?
Sticky Ricky, that's why.
Calvin, do you mind explaining?
Wait, I'm sorry, repeat.
Why Rick Pitino was fired from Louisville in the first place?
Wait, I'm sorry, I can't hear it. What do you say?
Alan, why was Rick Pitino fired from Louisville in the first place?
Oh, okay.
Calvin might dodge the smoke, but I want that shit. Go ahead, Calvin.
No, it's basically... So, remember when the whole FBI thing or whatever, way back. So, basically, the argument was made that given what his assistants were up to, that I think they basically made the argument that he was either he knew full well what was going on. In which case he's an active participant, or he doesn't know anything and has no control of his program. But here's the thing though: of all the coaches implicated, he seems to be the only one with no solid evidence that he knew what was going on. But because of that, Louisville got rid of him. They, of course, have not really been good since. That's not really my problem though.
Calvin, what were they up to?
Don't give me the politically correct answer. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear all the rumors about Boyd.
Wait, hold up. No, he didn't get fired for all the... What he got fired for was like recruiting violations, basically.
Yeah.
There was other stuff he did before that.
But what were the violations? And what did he do before that?
Calvin just passed the baton.
Okay, fine. Alan, you get... Look, you're tagged in, okay?
Stinky Ricky was out here playing in the pink in the middle of a restaurant.
He was fired, though.
But it's the more entertaining part of the story. Do you understand?
No, I get that, but y'all asked me a question.
Rick, you're a nasty boy. Listen, it's funny because
he's a bad man. I like him.
I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you watch that movie, He Got Game, and you see how, like, oh, we need Jesus Christ to come to our school, and you see a little scene where, and, like, it's hilarious. It's funny to me how people don't realize how, like, factual that, like, scene is. Like, that's, like, real stuff. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. And this is, like, currently, right? Not even, like, back in the day. If you get the highest recruited basketball players to come to your school and you win, you make millions. The school makes millions. Bill Self right now is on a lifetime contract and owns Lawrence, essentially. Imagine Coach K, Rick Pitino in Louisville, Bob Knight in Indiana, right? Imagine these things. Like, the perks that come along with it. So you're going to go up and beyond to get these people to come to your school. Rick Pitino just got caught. Right, but we heard the situations of Like Roy Williams in North Carolina? Come on now. Like there's other examples of the, especially once again, back in the day, but also you can generally in college, especially colleges of that stature, get away with a lot because you're, it's not under your guise, right? Like you're not seeing it. So I'm not gonna say any names or schools or whatever, but I know somebody who was a recruiter for a Power Five school, and she essentially said to me that she would come and bring all the, you know, the recruits for the sport, a big time sport, to her school, and you know, show them around, doing the tours of the campus like that, and then when they were done, hands off with, you know, other people on the team already or whatever. And then who knows what they get into at that moment on. Who knows who's feeding them money to get into from that moment on. This is a common thing. So for Rick Pitino to get fired from Louisville for doing essentially the wildest thing or being the head of, like, individuals who are engaging in some wild activities with recruits, so on and so forth, for him to all of a sudden just pop up. I know plenty of people were like, is that Rick Pitino? You know what I mean? I know plenty of people were like confused about why he was coaching for Iona. You know what I mean? Like, who is this man? And then he said, you saw me a little bit and not going to see me a lot. St. John's where I come in a 6-year contract. Rick Pitino, you're on the rise again.
Good. We need to talk about how that is a story that can only happen to a white man.
Yeah,
The only way it can happen. And I get it. That's already a Hall of Fame coach. He's done so much to cement his legacy. Of course, we have to let him stay. They told that man to leave, and he immediately got a professional coaching job in Italy.
Right.
He got to live in Italy and get paid to do what he loves anyway, and then came back. It just got right back to it.
Yeah. That,
now he's not injured again. Like, is
yeah, it's a white man's thing.
it's the richest story.
Absolutely. No black person can ever get away with something like that. Like at all, right? So for Celtics, man just cheated on his wife, and all of a sudden, you know, you ain't gonna see him again for a cool minute. You know what I mean? He did go on hiatus. Because he cheated on his wife. Rick Pitino had strippers out. Like, I don't know. It's
giving kids the bag. Literally ruined a young man's professional career.
You're not going to hear this narrative, though. So, you know, that's why you're tuning the Trailing Hoopers. So you hear this narrative because in the mainstream, you ain't going to hear this narrative because, you know, and I don't know why. You know, you saw what happened to Kendrick Perkins. So, you know. It is what it is, right?
Hey, can we have a brief aside on the Kendrick Perkins thing where he said it was 80% voters and they were like, no, that's not correct. It's 68%. Yep, that's a very big difference. That is a huge difference.
Once again, it's just one of those things, you know, who said it? Somebody, a player said, I think I read it somewhere, that towards John Morant of being like, it's a business and they're going to treat him like a business. If you know business will care about people. If you're there to ruin some type of image for the business, you've got to go, right? And for the NBA, that was definitely a Donald Sterling thing where he implemented it. And then Adam Silver, who is like the good guy, but he's just the CEO of a business, like same thing. You know what I mean? Kendrick Perkins had to go on hiatus. John Morant had to go hiatus for a gun that's not his, and go to rehab. I don't know. How do you go to rehab for that? Side note.
That's a different episode. Calvin.
You're right. My bad. You're right.
I got answers for you now anyway, so.
I was just so confused.
But I don't know. I don't know. And I don't feel compelled to worry about it.
Calvin, get us back on the college basketball track.
So, please. But also, right, we mentioned Rick Pitino is at St. John's. The dude who's at St. John's, Mike Anderson, will likely be suing them because they supposedly fired him for a cause. And he still wants his money. And they should give him his money because they basically the accusation of for cause is some vague thing that seems boiled down to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, lack of communication and I think supposedly having some kind of toxic culture or something. Stuff that you kind of need receipts for real, if you're gonna make it stick. And there's little indication at this point that any of their cause, the for cause, is true. But we will see. That's not really my concern. The reason they fired him is because he didn't win as much as they wanted him to win. And they're just trying to get out of paying his buyout.
As a person who has recently called their credit card company to go ahead and get some wipe off, a recent purchase wiped off, I'm not mad at St. John's for at least trying.
I mean, no. And
his money from the books. I understand it.
I mean, I get it. And no. I get it. But, pay the man his money. You don't get to get out of a contract just because you don't like it no more. You should have put him on a better contract for you. That's going on. Ed Cooley will be over at Georgetown now. The Providence head coach will now be over at Georgetown, taking over for what's that man's name again? Patrick Ewing. Who Georgetown wasn't really good while he coached there. Fairness, they weren't good before he coached there, because John Thompson III was not his father, and it showed. But regardless, that will be interesting. If nothing else. It's one of those things, you see how it shakes out. Right, of course, as far as the tournament, once again, Bama was dominant, as would be expected. Matter of fact, they blew out their first round opponent, and I don't think, did Brandon Miller score in that game? I don't think he did.
And I think the second game he was out with the groin, right?
Something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Calvin, right. I'm glad you actually brought up Brandon Miller, bro. I gotta do it. Over the weekend, there were some findings that show that Brandon Miller didn't have much to do with the big issue that's hovering over Alabama. And my biggest issue with finding out that information is, for the past week, possibly even 2 weeks, depending on who you've been listening to, possibly even 3 weeks, it's pretty much been a verbal lynch mob to not slander, but connect this 19-year-old to something that can probably has 20 plus years in prison. And we're talking about the loss of a life. We're talking about a lot of other stuff. And at the bare minimum, we're talking about the possible loss of money, even though he is going up draft board. So the NBA clearly does not care about what's going on. And my biggest issue is it's a 19-year-old, and it's a constant attack on what feels like his character. And we do not know this kid. And when they talk, anytime they talk about Alabama, the lead-in of the story was not how good Alabama is what is going on with him. And it's never we don't quite know. It's such and such. It's, it always feels like you should know better. And it's like a constant finger wag for information that is not fully out there. It's just kind of like speculation. And now that we have a little bit more information, radio silence. And there's no like forgiveness for what is essentially a child. I don't care that he's in line to make millions of dollars and is the face of a really good basketball program. What happened to us trying to like give kids grace in situations like this? I get it's a really serious matter. I understand that.
Wait, when you say what happens to giving kids grace in situations like this, that implies that at any point they give kids grace in a situation like this. Once again, I like to point this out. Not only is the NBA a business, the NCAA is a business as well. And they have their narratives. I mean, it's that simple, right? Business, American business, well, business does not treat people well. I mean, it is, you know, that's just how it works, right? You don't treat people well, and, you know, success of your business thrives off of that. And that is one example of that being the case, and one of the downfalls and the detriment things of the NCAA, right? The sports media, of, you know, all these different things, right? There should be different bylaws to help protect somebody in a situation like this, but there's not, right? And you can't say, well, this is unprecedented. No. Kids get in trouble all the time. So this isn't an unprecedented situation. This is a situation that has plenty of examples ahead of it to where the protection of the student athlete should be first and foremost if all information is not accessible to the media at hand. But they don't have that because they don't care. I'll go far enough to say they don't care. And it's a shame. But it's real, and what you're saying is real, of talk about what's important and what you have factual information for. Don't talk about what you don't know about. You don't know about it, don't say none at all.
Yeah, because they didn't even talk. They talked briefly. It was like a brief story on what actually happened and who's actually getting charged for it. It's been like a 3-week story about the kid that gets to play. And then you see the video comes out and we know there's more players there and their names don't get touched, but it's the person who we know is set to go to the NBA from that team who we keep hearing his name. Like that's the only one we're focusing on. And it feels weird. I get that he would have the biggest connection by the details that we have. But it feels really weird. And I said the verbal lynch mob earlier, and that's what it feels like. Like we're trying to destroy somebody's character before the story's written. It's strange. But Calvin, where were you going with Bama? Calvin over there stressed out.
I don't know what else I had to say. I wasn't really gonna touch on it just because it's kind of messy, and like, you know, as we kind of touched on prior, there's a decent amount of nonsense that surrounds a lot of these college programs in general. But there was also, of course, this year, just some wild stuff, right, when we get more particular, right? The thing with the Alabama players, right? Texas's coach, you know, domestic violence charges that were later dropped. Look, but it's just...
He immediately got a job. We talked.
Oh, yeah, he got a job. Immediate. He will be at Ole Miss, which... It's Ole Miss. I don't expect morals from an SEC team, like program. Like I'm gonna be real, but yeah, and I don't know. So, at this point, I don't really know how to get it back on basketball, unless I don't know. Like
It sounds like it's Tom.
Dylan Brooks and Klay Thompson. What? Nah, it's just like, I mean, we could just end here, but it's a dour note to end on.
Okay, we'll spice it up. Like, guys, I need your prediction on who you think is going to win the NCAA championship based off the teams that are in the Sweet 16. My pick is Princeton. I don't have any rhyme or reason. I just want Princeton to win. It feels right. I don't really got them going outside of the Sweet 16.
Is Princeton Ivy League?
They are.
I don't like Ivy League schools, so I refuse for them to win anything. Nerds.
I don't think you have the option.
So what?
To refuse. I don't think you have the option for them, for you to refuse.
Houston.
I would like Houston to win. I think I want, I want K-State to win. I would like K-State to win. Let me say more.
Give me your degree. Give me your degree from the University of Kansas.
He just wants to go out drinking with his K-State friends. That's all that is.
You got K-State friends?
Then why do you want? You know what?
Because Kansas. Like, I'm over. Listen. Calvin, you wouldn't know this. Alan, you know this. But I'll explain it. The rival of KU is not K-State. That was fabricated because MU went to the SEC. MU is the true rival. The whole border wars, like, it's like, it's a whole thing, mm-hmm. right? Like, that yeah. is the true rival. I don't dislike K-State, personally. I'm not going to fall victim to, you know, them going, well, MU left, we better find another rival, and it be K-State. I don't care about K-State. I don't dislike K-State. K-State's in the distance. Like, I'm from Missouri, so I have, like, a little connection to that. And, like, when I was in high school and growing up, like, KU, MU, like, Marcus Denman, Michael Dixon, Leo, like, it was like a thing. No, I don't care about K-State. I like Michael Beasley. I like Jacob Poland. You know what I mean? Like, I like some of their players.
Keep naming names.
What?
Keep naming names. For people from KU. I mean, K-State.
Why would I do that, Alan?
Anyway,
I don't care. I don't feel any type of malice against K-State. And I don't think real KU fans who didn't become KU fans in the last 10 years, 9 years, really don't care that much about K-State either in terms of, like, rivalries. So I'm okay with them winning. And if they win, hey, Kansas got two good basketball programs. Now, I also like the fact that K-State has that first-time coach who really came in and put his stamp down. Like, now, the issue is, because K-State is second fiddle to KU for the state of Kansas, any good coach K-State has in basketball gets siphoned out. They get taken, right? You can go all the way back to Frank Martin, right? It's like a thing. But it's his first year. They made it to the Sweet 16. If they can go further, and I'm okay with that. When it comes to regular seasons, obviously, KU was win all be all, but KU lost to Arkansas. They done. They out. Sayonara. Bye bye. So what am I gonna do? So K-State, right. Let's go. Is that it?
I think that's a wrap, guys. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I have been your host. Thank you for sticking around. You can go ahead and like this video, subscribe so you can get all of our content. We got a lot more coming out. And before I sign out, I'm going to let my friends do that. So Calvin, Phillip, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
Once again, I'm Calvin McGowan. It has been a pleasure to be here. Thank you for being here in my time of need. Right as we bury the remains of my bracket. Also, fun fact: Providence had a lot of good college coaches and coaches in general that played basketball over there. Including but not limited to Big John Thompson, Lenny Wilkins, and Billy Donovan.
Impressive group.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Philip Dixon, a.k.a. The Chip Man. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you kick that notification bell.